And so there's a lots of ways that AI will be applied that will reduce the need for people in positions. But we think it actually requires people to be even deeper in the process. One of my good friends, a CEO of a healthcare company, said people want AI tools, but they don't want artificial empathy. Artificial intelligence is great, but not artificial empathy. Hey, welcome back to the DocuSef Previews. We're here with Dennis Boyle. He's a founding member and partner at IDEO, the renowned global design and innovation firm based in Palo Alto, California. He has a background in mechanical engineering and product design and has been a key force behind many of IDEO's groundbreaking projects. And I have to tell you that when I was thinking about doing DocuSef, I was inspired by a lecture that I heard from Dennis, and he was charming and thoughtful enough to speak to me afterwards and encouraged me to do this conference. And so Dennis has been part of it ever since. It's very generous. So thank you for that, Dennis. And thank you for staying in touch with us and participating this year.
All right. Well, it's an honor to be associated with this. I think you and your team have created a movement in your corner of the medical world. So I'm happy to continue to support it and see it grow and flourish.
So tell me a little bit about this past few years as you were at IDEO. You've been working heavily on the healthcare side of IDEO's practice and the onset of AI. What are you seeing as trends and issues? And then we're going to get into the questions of how we might adapt some of the techniques you guys have pioneered to the adoption of technology in healthcare.
You know, there's a great deal of interest and activity in this whole applying AI to healthcare. It's going every which way right now. And luckily, we have a team of kind of 30-somethings, maybe even 20-somethings, who really are on this and are building this out, really understanding this, traveling around the world, doing projects, doing workshops, doing talks. And there's kind of like IDEO's not so secret weapon. They just get it and are on it. So those are the people that I'll tap and I'll apply to our involvement with our sessions and bring kind of what's really top of mind practically like today or this week, because things are changing very quickly in this space.
And just to remind people, for those of you who were not there last year, we had this super wonderful interactive session with their team. It was YC and Brittany that came, and they were able to get a third of the audience fully engaged in this wonderful interactive exercise about how to speak across differences of opinion and bring people to a consensus. It was really remarkably effective. And so one of the things that has been a signature at DocuSef of our IDEO events have been these interactive aspects of the experience. And I'm sure we'll look for something similar again next year. Dennis, you were mentioning to me a little bit about empathy. Let's go back to that.
Well, it's kind of a general overall observation I'm seeing is AI, there's just 1,000 points of light or thousands of people trying to figure out how to apply AI to every aspect of healthcare. And there's a big strain that's trying to obsolete people in various roles. And this is going to happen. I mean, I see a, you know, self-driving car going by right now, for instance. And so there's a lots of ways that AI will be applied that will reduce the need for people in positions. But we think it actually requires people to be even deeper in the process. One of my good friends, a CEO of a healthcare company, said people want AI tools, but they don't want artificial empathy. Artificial intelligence is great, but not artificial empathy. You need people to really understand people's motivations and needs and requirements. So that's kind of a big niche where IDEO lives and thrives, which is really understanding the desires and needs of patients and users before you start applying technology, before you start applying business tools.
That's a very important statement you made there, and it's really critical to understand people's needs before you start designing solutions for them. It's something you guys have done extremely well over decades. Dennis, that was great. Tell me a little bit about the design for health class at Stanford. Is it the business school or the design school?
It's in the D school or the design school. Yeah, this is my 15th year teaching it. I teach it with a physician who has a clinic at Stanford, the Stanford Coordinated Care Program. I also teach it with YC Sun, who's been a part of the Doc SF IDEO involvement for a number of years now, including last year. Anyway, we had a just an amazingly banner year. I had 30 students, 15 teams, two people on a team. And the main project is to work directly with a patient volunteer from Dr. Kwan's practice. And these are all patients who have chronic conditions of some sort, some trying to manage multiple chronic conditions. So the brief is to know your patient, these two students, both grads and undergrads, we mix them up, and understand what their needs are, what their problems are, what they could use help with, and then just do it with them and take about 9 weeks to do this. And boy, this year was more successful than ever. Somehow we hit all the right kind of metrics, but in the end, the patients had great experiences and they learned how to walk again or swim again, or they got help with their medication management or physical therapy, or even things like, you know, they're trying to be, these are often 70, 80, 90 year olds who are trying to deal with technology. So sometimes these students just show them how to use their phones and their computers and their cameras and integrate that into what they're trying to do for their families or their work or their writing children's books. Or other ones are just trying to be more active, be shop for healthier foods, eat more healthy, be more social with their family and friends, because there's a big burden of all these chronic conditions that sort of close you down.
Well, that's sort of a great example of human-centered design, right?
Yes. You cannot get more human-centered than having two students work with one patient for basically a quarter or 10 weeks and really use a book called Tiny Habits by Professor B.J. Fogg to try to help people form healthier habits in a very small way and then build on them. If they don't, well, keep trying other things. So it's very gratifying. And the physicians whose patients these are just over the moon happy, because sometimes they just break a logjam and kind of have a breakthrough that nobody else has ever had with them.
You know, one of the things that makes the IDEO sessions at DocSF, the Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco, so memorable is that they are human-centered, with the human in this case being the attendee. We have all our attendees participate, and when they participate, they do it personally, wholly. They actually have an experience, and experiences are things that change the way we think, that change the way we feel, and as a result, they're memorable. And so we're super excited to have you guys back. It's the only session that we're going to repeat. In other words, if you couldn't do the first session, you'll be able to repeat, do it the second session.
We're excited to be part of it.
Excellent. So something to look forward to. And thank you so much for making time to be with us today. I know you're super busy, and give us a little bit of insights what you'll be bringing to DocSF in October 3rd of this year. So thank you again, Dennis.
All right. It's just an honor to be part of the movement that you and your team have started and sustaining here. So onward.
Onward. Thank you.
Bye for now.